I want to speak to us today regarding something that is found in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and following. How that the Apostle Paul, in receiving this word, writing it as directed by the Spirit to those brethren in the churches of Galatia, made a statement, and how that we ought to understand what it is that he was saying. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 serves as our text this morning. He wrote, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of men or of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to use certify in our text this morning. This makes a strong statement indicating that the message is provided by inspiration. The gospel which he was given is good news. That's what the word gospel means, good news. Therefore, we understand that Paul, by inspiration, is saying that the good news that he received from Jesus Christ, which he also preached to others, was authentic. It was certified. It was the certified gospel. It was from God, and being from God is authoritative. We also know that God has identified a number of different things regarding his gospel that he has given to us. One such thing that we find is that it is from God, but we see also the power that it has in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Again, the Apostle Paul is guided by the Spirit, writing to the brethren in Rome there, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We know that this is in keeping with the plan of God, as Israel had been chosen as a separate people, separated to bring Christ into the world, and it's through Christ that the gospel comes to us. We know that Jesus Christ came and lived under the law, a perfect life, provided the only sacrifice that could be given for the redemption of mankind. He did so on Calvary's cross. But before he left, he told his disciples, "I will not leave you alone. I will send the Comforter to you." He sent the Comforter, and the Comforter brought us this word, this gospel that we have today. This same gospel which he had spoken of to the Roman brethren. And there are some of facts associated with the gospel of which we should be aware. Let's read the passage first, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 4. We need to understand there are some things about the gospel that we need to be aware of, and that which brought about or shows the power of that gospel as it was given by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 beginning. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by the which also ye are saved." I want to stop right there and notice what has been said. Paul had received this gospel, he had preached it to them, and they stood in this, "wherein also ye are saved." It was the gospel that saved them. Just in keeping with Romans 1:16, it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is that which brings one to Christ. Now, we continue on, and he tells them the condition associated with this: "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." It's important for us to realize the entirety of the salvation of mankind hinges upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And notice that it was not said that the gospel was the power unto salvation until such time as after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These three essential facts we find is what the gospel is based upon. First, let us look briefly at the death of Jesus Christ. We know that when we come to this earth, or we learn shortly after our journey on earth begins, that death is a part of life. We come, we live our lives on this earth, we accomplish those things which we can accomplish, we develop whatever talents that we have to whatever degree we want to develop them, and then we die. Well, Jesus came. He lived life in the flesh, and he came for a purpose, and that purpose was to die. Now, his death is different than ours, because in his death, he provided a sacrifice, the sacrifice that was needed to redeem fallen mankind. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, we see the mode of death also being mentioned here, where he says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." We need to understand that it was absolutely necessary for the salvation of man, for the coming of the certified gospel, for Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross. Next, let's look at the burial of Jesus. You know, I think it's a trend today when people die, different things are done with their bodies. I was never so appalled when I found out that a family member of mine, one with whom I was extremely close to for many years, when she departed this life, the decision had already been made. Had not been announced that she would be, her body, her remains would be dedicated to science. And therefore, when she expired, the nurse very kindly said, "You have about 5 minutes. Then we're going to take her away, never to be seen again by the family." There is a trend now, because of costs associated with funerals, to have bodies cremated. People have asked me, is this right? Is that right? I don't know that there's a right and a wrong when it comes to this. But know this, that after the cessation of life, something is to be done with the body. In Jesus' day, the general proper thing to do would be to bury. And we know that the burials that they had then was not exactly such as the ones we have now. I was over here yesterday afternoon, and a guy pulled up and he said, "Hey, I'm looking for a cemetery that's supposed to be in this area." I said, "Keep driving and keep looking. You can't miss it." "Thank you, sir." And he drove on. Today, when people are buried, more often than not, they're put into the ground. But not so in Jesus' day. Let's look at Luke chapter 23, verses 50, beginning. We know that Jesus Christ had died. He had spent his life here faithfully serving God and doing his will. Part of that will would be providing the sacrifice for all of humanity. And he died upon Calvary's cross. When his body was discovered that it was dead, bones were not broken to facilitate that death. His body was taken down from the cross. And in verse 50 of Luke 23, we see, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor." He was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the council indeed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and took it down, and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. You see, that was the means of burial. We know that to be the case because when Christ was risen, several different people went to that sepulcher. They looked inside. Some even made the proclamation, "He is not here." In fact, the angel made the proclamation that he is not here, indicating that he had been there, which means he had died and he had been buried and put in that sepulcher. It's interesting to me, the strategy of men as they told the guards, here's some money. Tell everybody that his disciples came and took him. Which brings us to our next point. Not only had he died on Calvary's cross, not only had he been buried, but he had been resurrected. Let's go again to Luke chapter 24. We'll begin upon verse 1. reading Luke's account of this, as Luke was given this information by the Spirit. Now, upon the first day of the week, was very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? This is a great question relative to Christ. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Any teaching that omits these essential facts is not the certified gospel. We talked about a few gospel facts. Let's look at a couple of gospel truths. Again, we turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verse 16, but we're also going to read verse 17. It is important that we realize and understand that these truths that are contained in the Word of God make up this certified gospel. We've already read Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But let's continue in reading in verse 17. For therein where? In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. This truth of the gospel emphasizes its essential nature. You know, if one preaches any other gospel, they're to be accursed. You have to preach the certified gospel. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What has God revealed? Well, he's revealed the same thing that will cause us to be accursed if we preach. I better say that differently. He has revealed the true gospel, the certified gospel. And if we preach something other than that, we will be accursed. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, we see this as Paul is writing to the brethren, warning them, building them up, teaching them that they are to preach only the certified gospel. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. If it's a perverted gospel, it's not a certified gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know, the Apostle Paul was an apostle. And oftentimes we put the apostles on a pretty high plane. They were chosen of God to do a wonderful work. But stop and think about the angels. You know, they're ministering spirits. And there are angels who are there with God, attending to God's desires, helping God carry out his will. But what if an angel, one who had spent time in the presence of God, were able to come down and preach? He would preach that certified gospel. And if he preaches anything different than that, he would be accursed. You see, that certified gospel is for all humanity. Again, for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, we're told that it is for all of humanity. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Many times people look at this passage and they say, well, the grace of God, that means God loves us and he's going to save us. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about the wonderful certified gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that which brings salvation to man. The gospel is God's righteous action. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 beginning. We're going to see that which takes place how that God reconciled man to Himself by the gospel, by this certified gospel. It was absolutely necessary that man be reconciled back to God. Man was the one who left God. Man sought to follow his own desires, his own lusts, involve himself in sin, and therefore the need was there for a Savior. And that Savior is Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's the one and only do-over you get in life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Notice this, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How is a person going to be reconciled to God? Only through this certified gospel. The Bible tells us in verse 21, therefore he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. You know, there's no room for any other system of faith. When we look at the certified gospel, we must realize there are gospel facts, there are gospel truths, and because there are gospel facts and because there are gospel truths, there's a gospel plan. God has decided how one can come back to Him, how he can be reconciled to Him. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, we see that Jesus Christ has all authority. And having that authority, He passed down, directed His disciples, His apostles, to begin carrying out that plan. He came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then He said, then here comes the instructions. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So the gospel of Christ has steps. This certified gospel has a plan, and we must carry out that plan. We must follow that plan. Belief acknowledges Christ. You know, belief is part of that plan. Someone in spelling out the gospel plan of salvation would, of course, go to hear first. But once one has heard, what do they do with the gospel? It's a certified gospel. You can take certified seeds and leave them in a pack, setting up on the shelf, they're not going to grow. But once you hear that gospel, once it's been presented to you, you must believe. In John 8 and verse 24, we find our Lord Himself saying, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And this is the point in the service when I begin to expound upon the gospel plan of salvation that most people put their Bibles away. Don't do that. I'm not finished. But belief is important, and it's part of that certified gospel. If one does not believe, they're not going to obey. And if they don't obey, they're not going to participate in the instructions given through that certified gospel. And if they don't participate in the instructions given through that certified gospel, they will end up wasting this life. After a person believes, they should begin to want to do those things found in this certified gospel. What are these things? Well, they must repent. You know, it's interesting to me that in all of God's law that's been given to men, we find that He requires faith and obedience. And obedience is spelled out and broken down into its various steps. But one that has been included in every law is repentance. You stop and think about what was the sum of the message to Israel by the prophets? Repent. Oh, it could be repent of this, repent of that. Israel had multiple sins. Many different sins. But they were told to repent. As you turn to Luke chapter 13, verses 3, or if you want to, you can read verse 5. They're the same thing. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you, he said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is absolutely necessary. It's part of that certified gospel. It's part of the gospel plan. And it involves a change. Repent means to turn away from that which you have been doing, to turn to God. That's the whole message of the prophets. It was the entirety of the message of John and Jesus, except that there was something a little more added to it. All that the prophets prophesied was for them to repent, for them to make themselves ready for that which was to come, and that was the kingdom. The message of Jesus Christ and the message of John was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. It is imminent, it is coming. And they were to repent, to turn away from the ways of the world. We know this because it is the will of God that none should perish. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. We're going to see that God has made a promise to man. This promise is contained in that certified gospel, that if you will do those things outlined in that certified gospel, that you can have salvation. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is mandatory. We must participate in it. After a person believes and they're willing to begin doing those things which are found in the certified gospel, they have to repent, to turn away from that life of sin, to turn toward God. They also must be involved in confession. You know, the world has a strange look on confession. As you turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, we're going to see the Bible definition or the Bible instruction regarding confession. We don't need to go to someone and sit in a little dark booth and tell them that we have sinned. The Bible is very clear, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, it also teaches that we must confess. But what is it that we are to confess? We are to confess before men these facts of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But, look at verse 33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Do you want to be denied when you stand at the judgment bar of God? I don't think we do. I think we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How do we do that? We find and follow the plan that is outlined in that certified gospel. But we're not finished. One also must be baptized. There are many today in this world that would argue that point. Turn to John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, and we're going to see even before baptism for the remission of sins was instituted, because the sacrifice had not been made, Jesus Christ was alive and well and in His own body, and He was communicating to Nicodemus these things which would soon come to pass. But Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And people are confused about that today. You have to have help to misunderstand this. Born again equals being part of the kingdom of God or seeing the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the church. When one is baptized, he becomes part of the church. Oh, that's what we do too. No, that's not what you do. Those who would say, we baptize to make people members of the church. Oh no, you can't make people members of the church. Acts 2:47 covers that. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who was it should be saved? Those who were following the certified gospel. Those who were following the plan as God had outlined it. Those who heard the word of God, who believed it, who repented of their sins, confessed before men that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and were baptized into Christ. except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this caused Nicodemus to be a little concerned. I'm an old man. How can a man be born again, or be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, listen, of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need to understand that this is a requirement. People say, well, baptism is just a work. No, it's not. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, we're going to see a description of people and the change that took place in their lives because of the certified gospel. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now all of us can look back on our lives and perhaps think about the time when we had not known about the certified gospel. Perhaps we don't know about it now. And we look at this list and we say, you know, at least one or two of these things kind of applies to me. But we see in verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We need to understand that when baptism occurs, then we are baptized into Christ. We're following that certified gospel. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, we find this. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into a man-made church? That's not what it says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Remember, it's one of the facts of the gospel. Therefore we are buried with Him. Oh, Jesus was buried too, wasn't He? We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Listen to that. Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He was risen from the grave. And He lives forever. We can come to God according to this certified gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul by Jesus Christ. And we can die to sin, be buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Eventually, there'll be another resurrection. Verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that there henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Oh, we can go to many other different places. Places such as Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, which is much more familiar to us. Those people, when they realized that they crucified the Son of God, cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But we still haven't proven that baptism is essential. Oh, yes, we have. What does Saul told in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16? Ananias came to him. He'd been 3 days praying. Now, he went 3 days without eating and praying. Now, without eating while praying, I guess the way I should say it. But what did Ananias say unto him? And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Notice this. And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you need further information, 1 Peter 3:21 is the final point relative to baptism here. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. When a person is baptized into Christ, when they follow that certified gospel and the plan that God has given us in that certified gospel, when they are baptized into Christ, they come up out of that watery grave of baptism, they are pure. They are saved. They are part of that kingdom of which Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. to exclude any one of these steps is to pervert the gospel. And remember what happens to those who pervert the gospel? They're to be accursed. But there's also memorials associated with this particular gospel, with this certified gospel. We have participated in that today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, we see the words written by the Apostle Paul, given to him by the Spirit, who was sent by the Lord. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Notice this next phrase. "This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The gospel of Christ is commemorated in the Lord's Supper. What do we remember? In the Lord's Supper, we remember Jesus' death. Remember, that's the price that was paid for salvation. That's the price that was paid so that we might have today that certified gospel. When do they do this? Well, the same day we do it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 points this out to us. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they came together each and every first day of the week." Why? Because the certified gospel says this is when you are to partake in remembrance of him. You know, we could go on and on. And the latter part of that particular verse says, "Paul preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow and continued his speech until midnight." And I could very well almost do that, but I won't. We got a roast in a crock pot, and I'm sure you got plans too. So let me ask you a question. What do you think of the certified gospel? What does the gospel mean to you? When you stand before the judgment bar of God, you're not going to stand for the things that I've done in my body. You're going to stand for the things which you have done in yours. Does it mean enough to you that you will be obedient to it? That certified gospel is the means of God and the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Those who believe are going to be those who do. And those who do are going to be those who do what? Those things found in that certified gospel. What are they? They'll hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. Believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Repent of their sins. Turn away from them. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And they will be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16 and verse 16. Unfortunately, there are those who have heard the certified gospel. They've heard the gospel plan. They've responded to the gospel plan because they believed it. And they said, "You know what, I need to do this." And yes, they did. But the gospel plan does not stop at baptism. You see, the way it worked out is God had a plan. He instituted that plan. He began to carry that plan out from the beginning. God's kept his side of the plan. God's done his part. He has provided for us not only the sacrifice that was needed, but also the certified gospel, which will tell us what we need to do in order to participate in that which he has prepared for us. And there is something prepared for each one of us. The difference is what you choose. There is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. There's also a place prepared for those who are faithful and who serve God. And you cannot serve two masters. Jesus said that. So what does the gospel mean to you? Does it remain enough for you to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then to continue in that certified gospel, being faithful until death? 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21, a very vivid description of those who have tasted of the powers of the world to come and have turned their back on God. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You know, I hope that today that's not your situation. But if you have denied the Lord by turning away from that certified gospel, and you're here today and you're aware of that, there's still hope. What must you do? Well, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, it's incredible when I point this out to you. Repentance is a part of this also. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Do you need to obey that certified gospel today? Whether you're an alien sinner, still in your sins, never having named the name of Christ, you know the plan. If you're a child of God and have allowed sin to enter into your life, know that you have separated yourself from God, and in so doing, have denied that certified gospel. Denied the one who brought it. You can change all that today. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. We're going to invite you to please come as together we stand and sing.